Wasted years and wasted opportunities. I think if most of us as Christians look back or reflect on the way we used to live, that'd be a good description of us. Wasted time, wasted years, where we could have been in service to the Lord, or wasted opportunities. How many times did we hear the gospel preached and we did not decide to obey? Might be some here this evening that are in that boat. Maybe they've wasted their years away. They were faithful to God, but they need to return back to Him. This lesson's for you. It might be the case that you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. You've never put Him on in baptism. You've never taken those first steps of becoming a Christian. Tonight needs to be the night that you don't waste the Lord's time anymore. I want us to look to a parable that Jesus used. And we're going to turn to Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. I want you to notice the wasted years and wasted opportunities that Jesus is going to use a parable to talk about. But before we do, really want this to be the thought as we go through this lesson. If you've not obeyed the gospel, you've not repented of your sins, you've not come back to the Lord, time is of the essence. You don't have forever. And that's what's going to be brought out in the parable Jesus teaches. He's going to ask for another year for God. He's going to talk about the fig tree. And God wants to cut it down. Jesus is going to ask for another year. The whole point I want you to get at the end of this is, how long do you have till your years are up, just like this fig tree? You've only got so much time before you can change your life, before it's too late. We know that life, James talks about as being a vapor that passes by. Psalmist talks about man's life of being like a breath. You don't have forever. Make the choice tonight to become a Christian if you've not done so. I want us to start in verse 6 of Luke chapter 13. I want you to notice this. We've got a worthless and good-for-nothing fig tree. And it's going to be noticed as we go through this. Most of Jesus' parables, he doesn't give necessarily what is what. He doesn't give the definitions of who the owner, who the vine dresser, who the fig tree is. But if we use logic, I think we can place it. And most scholars are agreed on it. I'd like to kind of just give you the characters that are going to be described. The owner is God. God's the one who owns this vineyard talked about. The vine dresser, the one working in the garden, working in that vineyard is Jesus. The vineyard is the world. You know, Jews, Greeks, Gentiles, it's every person out there. And from what most agree on, the fig tree is the Jewish people. They had time, but they didn't obey. I want to make some practical things, practical lessons and points for us, though, as we look at it. Luke chapter 13, verse 6. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Again, we talked about this. Jesus is talking about people. When he's talking about the fig tree, he's talking about the vineyard. You know, the Jews were prepared for Christ. They were planted. They were put in this vineyard. God had shown them through the Holy Scripture that Christ would come for them. John the Baptist prepared the way. They were ready for Christ to come, but they didn't produce the fruit they ought to. They did not become the people they should have been, but in fact, they're there barren. Just like Jesus' day, there's no excuse for not obeying Him. There's no excuse for being unprepared. There's no excuse for you to not make and bear fruit for Christ. They were prepared for Him and they did not bear fruit. What about you? Are you prepared? Are you bearing fruit for Christ? So we take a look. The owner comes. He looks at the fruit and there's nothing to be found. Anybody here that's ever farmed can understand this. How devastating would that be? When I was 14, I worked for a gentleman next to our house. He was 91 years old, and he had had a garden for 50 years, and it got to the point where he couldn't do it anymore, so he paid me to do it, and I enjoyed it. I loved working in the garden. I loved getting my hands dirty, and one of the promises he made me, he paid me money, but he also paid me with whatever I wanted when it came and it fruited up. Whatever I wanted, I could have, and I would go there and pick peppers and corn, whatever I wanted. So it would be really bad if I put hours and hours and hours of work tending this garden, and I show up when it should be harvest time, and there is nothing there. It's barren. All of that time, all of that preparation went to waste. Now imagine if you were the owner of this vineyard. Imagine God standing there, and He's prepared. He's put His Word in your hands. You could study and find out what the gospel of Christ is, but you still haven't bore fruit. How aggravating do you think that is in God's eyes if we don't obey? Notice in verse 7, though, as we continue, it's wasted space in the vineyard. Verse 7, then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit of the fig tree and find none. cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? Jesus speaks perfectly here that this was the law in the Old Testament. In fact, Leviticus chapter 19 goes into great detail. When they planted a tree, they had to give it 3 years. And they weren't to touch the fruit on it for those 3 years. The fourth year, it was God's fruit. And the fifth year, they could do with it as they wanted. They could eat freely on it. So Jesus perfectly describes somebody who's planted a tree. He's waited the 3 years. And the fourth year, it's now God's plant. It's now meant for God. Could you imagine God there at the plant and there's nothing to be found? Just a barren, untouched tree that has not done its job. This is many people today. God looks down from on high and he sees people who aren't doing what they ought to. It's sad that we see this in our life today. Verses 8 and 9, what to see, wait to see if it will produce, if not, remove it. Jesus is going to hear, is going to stand and defend. But he answered and said to him, Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that you can cut it down. Could you imagine here as Jesus is going to defend this fig tree. He says, give it another year. We'll see if it produces then. It's really a good that you can take heart in this. Jesus wants you to bear fruit. Jesus wants you to repent. Jesus wants you to turn your life around and follow him. So much so, he's given us a lot of time, right? People take God and they see that he hasn't come back. Christ has not come back. And they say, oh, he's not coming back. But that's God's patience. God is hoping that every man will repent. Everybody will turn to him. But as we look, and can you imagine Jesus pleading before the Father for one more year? What point are you at in your life? Your year might be up. Your year might have already come to pass, and you're about to leave this world, and you have nothing to show for it because you never produce fruit. You've never become a Christian. You've never done the things that you ought to. As we is clearly taught, this is the final judgment in verse 9. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. Jesus uses this analogy several times. John chapter 15, verse 6, he's talking about the vine that is not like him, that does not abide in him, will be cut off and cast into the fire. And other places, Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 through 20, trees would be cut down that produce bad fruit. There will become a time where you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an answer of why you did not obey. Christ has been patient with you. God has been patient with you. Are you going to let that time run out on yourself this evening? Tonight you have that opportunity to become a Christian. Tonight you can hear the gospel as we've done this evening. There needs to be steps that you take, and the New Testament clearly teaches them to hear the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. Believing in Christ, that he is the Son of God. One of the things we're teaching in little school this last couple weeks is John chapter 20, verses 30 through 32. That John wrote the entire book of John. He wrote it down, those miracles. He wrote down the teachings of Jesus so people would believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Belief is vital of becoming a Christian. But I want you to notice in Luke chapter 13, 1 through 5, this is what Jesus is talking about before. He talks about the parable of the fig tree. So we look at the next step, repentance. Repentance is so important to us, and many times we skip it. There's got to be a change in your life if you want to become a Christian. There's got to be a change in your life if you want to come back to God. Look at verses 1 through 5. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? Many people during Jesus' time saw suffering, and they said, well, they must have just been bad people if they suffered. They had to go through this. But notice verse 3. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. There's a connection to verses 1 through 5 and 6 through 9. If you truly are repentant of your sins, you're going to bear the right fruit. If you truly do change the way you've lived and turn to God, you're going to show it in your life. If you've never repented, you've never truly turned your back on sin, then you're not bearing the fruit you ought to. Certainly, we need to repent. We need to confess that Christ is the Son of God, not only in front of the congregation, but everywhere we go. Matthew chapter 10 talks, Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I will also confess you before my Father who's in heaven. We must confess Christ all through the rest of our life. And finally, we need to be baptized, being buried with him in his death into water, Romans chapter 6. These steps are clearly taught, especially in the book of Acts, as they're going and making disciples. All of these steps are shown. If you've never done these steps, you need to this evening. Might be the case that you at one point were a Christian, but you've turned your back on God. Bear the fruit you ought to and come to him as we stand and as we sing.
Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
You're not dismissed.